Now we go to dental school, and we've got our producer, Shelby Traynor, with us, Priya.
So, Shelby, you have done something that Norman and I have not, which is you've gone to dentistry school.
Yes, for one half a day, if that really counts, at the University of Sydney.
I'm sure it counts. Why did you do it?
Honestly, I spoke to the University of Sydney. I asked them, do you have anything cool going on? And they told me, we've got this vending machine. And I was like, okay. They're like, we have this vending machine that is full of teeth. Oh. Do you want to come down and look at it? And I was like, absolutely, sure. Why in the world do you have a vending machine full of teeth?
So you put in a dollar and you get a tooth out.
You put in $15 and you get a tooth out.
$15?
A real tooth?
No, a plastic tooth.
So can any of us do this, or is this just for dental students?
I think you could actually test it out. I don't want hordes of people going to the University of Sydney to steal the plastic teeth from the dental students who desperately need it. I will also say before we head into this story that you're about to hear a bunch of Canadian accents, and I should probably explain.
Yeah.
Australia and Canada have a reciprocal agreement. Basically, you can train in Australia and go back and practice as a dentist in Canada. And dental schools in Canada are apparently very competitive, so it's a bit easier to hop over to Australia to train.
So we're full of Canadians.
Canadian dentists with a vending machine. This sounds interesting. I'm tuning in.
Standing in the dental school simulation centre, and there are vending machines, but they're not full of food, they're full of teeth. And I'm going to buy one. It was a pair of plastic teeth, actually. A set of adult molars. The students have to buy these teeth like they buy their textbooks.
Hey, you're on time, you're late. Let's go.
They're required for the dental simulation clinic we're about to head into. In these four-hour sessions, the students learn how to use the tools of the trade, mirrors, drills, burnishes, and how to do common procedures like fillings.
And have my teeth.
Okay.
Great. And their teacher is Dr. Tanya Wendels.
I am an education-based lecturer here at Sydney University.
And a dentist.
Oh, and a dentist. Yeah, that too. Yeah, and a dentist.
I'm sure I'm not the only person who often thinks, what makes a person want to become a dentist? To spend their days looking in people's mouths.
Yeah, I do describe it kind of like medicine on a really small scale, because there is the disease aspect, there is the returning the body back to health, but there's also, you're like Bob the Builder on a tiny scale. You get to take something that's broken and then recreate it.
We don't talk about dental care all that often on the Health Report. Maybe because giving the advice, just go to your dentist, is even more complicated than telling people to see their GP.
Especially in Australia, where dentistry isn't part of Medicare, we've sort of separated the mouth from the rest of the human body, which is a little bit unfortunate because it does tie into the rest of your health.
Millions of Australians are skipping or delaying visits to the dentist. When they do go, it's often to fix something that's gone wrong, rather than to prevent it going wrong in the first place. So it's no wonder it can take between 5 and 7 years to become a dentist.
I find that it is a very demanding job where you need to be a motivator, you need to bring the energy, but you're also doing fine detail work backwards, upside down and underwater, so it can be quite intense.
Today's dental simulation clinic is full of first years who are just starting that journey.
So they're learning this all for the first time, so they don't know how to hold a drill, how to sit, and that's one thing that they're really concerned about. They are high achievers, they're type A personality, and they're used to trying something and excelling at it, and so to come in here and then have to learn how to sit and where to put your finger and how to hold a drill and how to do these tiny minute movements and experience that failure and that ability to build on that can be quite challenging for them. But it's really good to watch the progress through the year.
Today, the task is to learn how to do an amalgam filling, probably better known as a silver filling. The students have between 5 and 7 minutes to pack the amalgam into the tooth before it hardens. If they mess up, they have to start the process again, which is why they're going to practice this a lot. First on clay models, then on their mannequins with plastic teeth.
Right now we're doing amalgam restorations. So these are a metal mercury alloy that we're putting into teeth that would have been prepped for cavities. And so clearly a patient would come in, they'd have some sort of decay or cavity going on. We'd remove that decay And now we're just filling that so that you don't get a cavity in the future. And so sort of what we're doing is lining it so there's no damage to the structures beneath the tooth. And then we'll prepare to get that amalgam into the tooth cavity itself. So there's some steps like mixing, putting it in, packing it down, and polishing it that's involved. And you end up with a nice shiny little covering over the tooth that protects it from future damage.
It's kind of a bit like chemistry, a bit like sculpting, a bit like everything.
Right? There's definitely an artistic side to dentistry that I think gets overlooked sometimes, and that's a nice quality of the training here.
What are you up to at the moment? What are you prepping?
I am just waiting for my CE to check my Vitrabond before I can mix my amalgam material and I can pack it into my tooth.
So you've prepped the tooth, that's that thin layer that they were talking about.
So it's a very thin layer and it's supposed to only cover the dentine, which we can't see very well on these 3D printed models, but in real teeth we'll be able to see. And it's not meant to cover any of the top sort of enamel layer of the tooth.
How do you tell the difference between the dentine and the enamel? I'm sure that's a very basic question.
No, it's a great question. In real teeth, there's quite an obvious color difference. So the enamel will be very pearly white. Dentine is more yellow. It also feels different. Enamel is quite hard if you feel it with any instrument. Whereas dentine is a bit softer because it's quite a bit less dense.
I hadn't thought about the fact that, when you're poking around, it will feel different.
Yeah. There's actually, in dentistry, it's quite a bit tactile, which is really cool. So there's the vision component, which is really important, but also feeling around. A lot of that goes into how we prepare cavities as well when we drill teeth. So when your dentist drills your teeth, it's a lot of visual feedback, but also a lot of tactile feedback as well, which is quite an acquired skill.
Just having brief chats with people, there seems to be so many aspects that go into this. Like, there is a bit of artistry about it. Someone was talking about how tactile it can be. These things that I, as someone who doesn't have this background, work on a health show, but we don't talk about teeth that much. It's surprising what has come up. Is that something that you've experienced in your journey as well?
Definitely. I think, there are times where I see fillings done in people's mouth where it's just a standard filling and it's fine and it's acceptable. But there are other times where I can see that someone's put an artistic tint to it where they've built up beautiful cusps and you can see the anatomy and it looks like they've recreated the tooth. Like, you almost don't even notice the filling is there. And I get a little bit of joy out of that, from that artistic effort that someone's put in. So it's nice to watch the students be able to create and remake nature so that it's a fully functioning tooth that still is very beautiful and aesthetic as well.
And I guess that somewhat goes into the motivations. Like, I've been curious to ask people, why did you get into this? What was the interest for you? What was it for you, and what are some of the things that you hear from other people?
Originally, when I was in my undergrad, I was going more toward gastroenterology, so the other end of the tube. But most of the patients are sedated, and I'm a big chatter, so I do like to talk and develop relationships with people. It also is a good career for if you want to also have a family. It's more of a 9-to-5 job. I have friends who work in the emergency department, and they're working 48-hour shifts through the night. Nobody dies on my watch, which is lovely. Not yet, thankfully. So it's a nice way to combine that medicine and that health, but also if you've got an artistic side to you, while still having sort of patient contact and communication. So, it's nice.
And that's what these clinics are preparing the students for. They learn the skills in a controlled setting so they can gain confidence before working on real people. For now, as I said, they're working on mannequins. They're these disembodied torsos with their mouths agape, revealing rows of pearly white plastic teeth.
Yeah, I mean, this guy kind of looks like a person.
Yeah, right? More or less. You got the cheeks, you got some realistic teeth, so as long as you just pretend that there's a head and a face there, then you can go for it.
Great. I have a really dumb question for you, though. Do you name your mannequin?
I actually did. His name is Jeff.
Amazing. That's the perfect answer. Hi, Jeff. He looks quite terrifying.
Some of them have eyes and they look even worse.
Oh, no. Yeah, I'm glad this doesn't have eyes. Well, I'll let you get back to it. Thank you.
Thank you.
One of the teachers points out that these mannequins don't move and they don't have a tongue, they can't swallow and they can't complain. They're pretty far away from being people who are anxious about going to the dentist. Maybe they've avoided it for years or haven't been able to afford it.
I don't think going into dentistry, I realized how much you almost are a psychologist in a way. As a kid, I loved going to the dentist. I was super excited to go. Look at me now, right? But you do have to understand that the person who comes in doesn't want to be there. It's a very personal space in your body, and someone's now going to put their hands in your mouth, and you feel like there's a bit of judgment that goes with it. Because a lot of what happens in dentistry can happen because you haven't taken care of your teeth. You've left plaque, there's decay, your gums are bleeding, and so it's our job to fix what's been broken. You have to be very careful with dentistry in the sense that you can't bring that judgment. You have to support a patient. You have to understand that it is a personal and anxiety-provoking space.
Okay, so that explains the vending machines, Shelby, but it was more than that. You actually had a goal.
Yes, so Tanya Wendels, who you just heard, became my dental assistant.
So we're going to get Chu to do an amalgam. It's a class one. Class one means it's just the biting surface of the tooth.
And showed me how to do a filling. It was on a clay model of a tooth. It wasn't even on the plastic teeth. I didn't get to use my plastic teeth, unfortunately.
And you didn't get to do a nerve block to keep them quiet.
I'm packing like a mercury-containing substance into someone's
mouth.
Yeah,
and my patient's already had a cry. And they were super nervous with the needle, and I had to talk about their kids and their last trip and what their dog likes to eat.
So basically you're working with amalgam, which is part mercury, which is an interesting experience.
Oh, so they still use amalgam these days. It's a long time since I've had amalgam in my mouth.
Yeah, so they are going out of style. The EU has actually banned them because of the environmental impacts, but we still use them a lot in public settings. They're very reliable, so it's pretty easy to set and forget an amalgam filling.
Before we go on, anybody who's being told to go in and have all your amalgam fillings out should go to see somebody else, because if you're worried about the mercury is stable in your amalgam, but it's certainly not stable when they're drilling it out, unless they have to drill it out. So, stick with the amalgam you've got until it needs to be changed.
Yeah, and that's what's a bit stressful about doing the amalgam filling, is the exposure is highest when it's being done and when it's being taken out. So you've got a time limit. You've got 7 minutes before the amalgam sets. And if you do it wrong, you have to then remove it. You're upping the exposure to mercury.
Oh, thank you very much, assistant.
Use your big end now and really just
big
start
end.
Packing.
All right, we're really punching.
Yeah, you
do. Do grip strength exercises?
Yes, sometimes.
You can hear Tanya encouraging me. It's a hard task, I think, for a perfectionist. There's lots of things I would have done differently.
You're doing great, by the way. I'm very impressed. You've never done this before and you're up for it.
I think that this is not as strongly packed as it should be. I can already...
Don't focus on what it's missing. Focus on what's great and where you're going.
Something else is that when the amalgam is setting, it starts to squeak.
Once it starts to get a bit squeaky like that, and it's not that sort of softer, chalkier one, then we know we're getting close to carving.
Right.
We don't want to carve too early. We don't want to carve too late.
And then once it sets, you have to start carving it, and you try to match what an actual tooth looks like.
This is the art of dentistry.
Yeah, it's artistic, yeah.
Yeah, you have a proper molar sitting next to you and you're trying to mimic what it looks like and you're kind of making artistic decisions.
You've
got to think of how someone will bite down as well, but you do get to have a bit of freedom, I guess.
So did you pass, Shelby? How did you go?
Tanya says that I did pretty okay, and this is a radio medium. You guys can't see the tooth, so I'm just going to say it was great. It looked fabulous, and I definitely, pass, I think.
Thank goodness for radio.
Still somewhat acceptable. And it's your first one, so I never want you to look your... I want you to have that first one. I want you to keep it. And then when you did the second one and the third one and the fourth one, I want you to see your progress. I never want the... You never do anything the first time, and it's amazing.
So you tempted Priya to sort of switch to general dentistry from general practice?
Definitely not.
Yeah, I think you've got to be a bit surgical in your view of the world, and you're much more physicianly.
On ABC Radio National, you're with the Health Report.